Ephesians chapter 5. We continue our study answering the question, what does Christianity really look like? Ephesians chapter 5. We pick up today in verse 15. Once you arrive there, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you today, praying for your guidance as we look into your word. Father, speak to us. You know every heart. You know those who are hurting, those who are confused, those who are dealing with storms, those who are walking alone without you. You know every need. Lord, I pray that today you will draw all men to you in this service. For those who are lost, I pray we'll see them saved. For those who have fallen by the wayside and become distant and cold, I pray that you would bring them back to you. And I pray that, Lord, you would move freely about today through the power of your Holy Spirit, giving this message power to change lives. For we know apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we look into your word with a complete, whole, absolute dependence upon you. Move, Lord. And I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What does Christianity look like? Today, we dive a little bit deeper into that question. And we get an idea of, if you call yourself a Christian, there are certain things that should be present. And these are those things. We open with the statement of walking in wisdom, a wise walk. And what that looks like is, number one, in verse 15, we're told to walk circumspectly. Now, that's a big word. If you're like me, the first question that comes to my mind is, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that word that phrase, walk circumspectly, it means to walk with exactness, to be very intentional. To pay attention to the detail. Why? Why are you supposed to walk or make your life with exactness, live your life with exactness? It's because you're making the most of the day, the time that you've been given. And that's the whole idea in verse 15. That you make the most of the time that God has given you. You know, I give you this example. I have one of my daughters. Her name is Amy. She is a planner. And bless her heart, she is good at it. She sits down in January and she plans her year. As a matter of fact, you can ask her today, what do you got on your calendar for December? And she will tell you. She will pull up her calendar and she'll say, well, on these days we're doing this. And if you go on vacation with that young lady, you will have an agenda or itinerary. You get up at a certain time. You go do this and this and this and this at a certain time. You even go to bed at a certain time. But the good thing about, and I'm not, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, there's good things related to that, in that if you go on vacation with her, you're going to squeeze every possible thing that you can possibly squeeze into that day. You're going to do it. The girl's not going to let you miss anything. On the other hand, her mom and dad, we're a little bit different. We decide we're going on vacation. We get in the car and we travel. We go and we get to the hotel and we carry our bags in. We unpack our bags and get set for the week. And we look at one another and say, okay, we're here. What you want to do? And quite honestly, we waste a lot of time to saying, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And we'll do some fun things on vacation, enjoy some things, but we'll miss some things also, just simply because we were not as prepared as we could have been. When he says, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, the idea is that you be that planner, that every day when you arise, that you get up with the intention, I'm not just going to glide through the day. I'm going to live for the glory of God. I'm looking for opportunities to honor God. The reason that he says that, Job 14:5, we're told there, and this is the NIV, but it says, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and has set the limits he cannot exceed. You have an allotted time on this earth. Your days are numbered. Make the most of the days that you have been given. That's why the psalmist said, teach us to number our days. Psalms 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's very sad that in today's society, I guess it's probably always been this way, but it's very sad that there are people just biding their time going through life. For example, there are people who have a job that they just punch the clock, and the thing that they look forward to is quitting time. There are people who get up every day and they're living for that point in the future when they can retire and they don't have to work their job anymore. And they think, man, when I get there, I will have made it. But they're missing. They're missing the opportunities that's been laid right before them. Even in church, let's do confession. You ready for confession? Say amen. Come on. Have you ever sat as a preacher was preaching and think, boy, I hope he wraps it up soon? Amen. That came from the church staff. Hey, I got to be honest, I've done the same thing. Not when I'm preaching, but you know. But you see, we're kind of geared in that mentality of, okay, let's just get through this. Let's just get through it. And once we get through it, we're done. And we don't have to worry with it anymore. And we even apply it in the church. And we can apply it to Vacation Bible School this week. It's easy to get into the mindset, okay, I'm looking forward to Thursday night. I'm looking forward to Thursday night. I'm looking forward to Thursday night. No, don't worry about Thursday night till you get there. Look at the opportunities God has given you where you are, and live that time with exactness. You see, when you live in that, when I get there out there somewhere, what's going to happen is you're going to wake up and you're going to realize that life has passed you by and you've missed so many things. Listen, don't just work 40 hours a week or whatever hours a week you work. Look for ministry opportunities where you work. God has you there for a reason. Don't just sit through my boring messages every Sunday, you know. Don't just bear with it and hope I hush up soon. Open your Bibles and make sure I'm teaching the truth. Because I promise you, I want to teach the truth. If I say something wrong, I want to know it. Right? Check me out. Don't just waste time to get through life. Whatever your point in life is. Don't wish tomorrow when there's plenty of opportunity today. That's the idea of walking circumspectly and making the most of your time. Now, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what he says in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand. And the idea behind that phrase is that you have a clear perception of God's desire for you. Listen, you can't please God if you don't know what He wants or what He likes, right? That makes sense. That's what Paul is writing this church at Ephesus. He says, okay, to live with purpose, to live with exactness, you've got to understand what the will of the Lord is. And what I'm going to share with you and what Paul shares with you, it applies to all of us today. We're not talking about some He's calling to be missionaries, some He's calling to be pastors, some He's calling to be teachers. That's not it. He's going to give us a basic Bible truth that applies to every individual here who is saved. Number one, understand that the Lord doesn't want you to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. And this is not just a command, okay, don't get drunk. Even though that applies, that's the shallow part of it. That's not what He's, the overall mindset of what He's trying to give you. That statement, do not be drunk with wine, it's a comparison with instead be filled with the Spirit. You know what it means to be drunk, right? It's intoxicated. It's when you literally give yourself over to alcohol, right? Isn't that what happens when someone gets drunk? They give themselves over to the drink and they lose control. See, that's what that word dissipation means. When he says, don't be drunk with wine because it's dissipation. The act of dissipation is the act of one who abandons himself to reckless behavior. Listen, what you do is if you get drunk, you abandon who you are and what you are for reckless behavior of being controlled by alcohol. And listen, one of the ugliest things around is a drunk. Don't ever think, oh, it's really cool to drink. And you know, and I know young people, you know, get that mentality. It's really cool. Let's go out Friday night and get drunk. Have you ever looked at a drunk? He's not pretty. You can't get along. You cannot get along with him. He's illogical. He's miserable to be around. And I've told you this before. Listen, if you're drunk, don't ever call me. I've done my set all night with a drunk before, and he not remember it the next day, and I'll do that. When you sober up, I'm glad to visit with you. Right? But not when you're out of control as a drunk, because you've lost control. You'll do things you would not normally do. Listen, a drunk is ugly. I don't care what age you are. If you're 18 or if you're 88, it's not a pretty thing. But then he, on top of that statement, or to compare that statement, he says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And we get kind of nervous when we use phrases like being filled with the Spirit. So I want you to understand what that means. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the idea, a lot of people have the idea that, okay, you get saved and you get a little part of the Holy Spirit, and somewhere down the line you get a bunch more and have this big emotional experience and the Holy Spirit comes in and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, that's not even biblical. When you're saved, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, you've got all the Spirit you're ever going to get. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we're told that very thing, which says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." It only happens once. When you're saved, the Spirit moves in. Now, that does not mean we're all filled to the same level with the Spirit. That's the idea here when he says, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being filled with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Why? What is he talking about? He's talking about allowing the Spirit to have complete, full, absolute control over you. It's again, you're not in control. The Spirit of God is in control. And the comparison here is, okay, you shouldn't be drunk with wine, but that wine takes over and makes you do silly things. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God take over, and you're not going to do silly things. You're going to do God-honoring things. Excuse me. I said there's nothing uglier than a drunk. There's nothing more beautiful than the child of God who is filled with the Spirit of God. It is an absolute beautiful thing. And you say, excuse me. You say, Brother Doug, how do you be filled with the Spirit? Well, first thing you have to understand when it says, be filled with the Spirit, that's present tense in the Greek, which means it's a continual process. You can be filled today, but that doesn't mean you're going to be filled tomorrow. And if you're filled today, that doesn't help you tomorrow. The idea is that you go through life continually full of the Holy Spirit of God, continually under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, continually led by the Holy Spirit of God, that God has complete and absolute control. You see, that's the idea here. Letting God have absolute control of who you are. I want to tell you, I want to share with you. God doesn't, you know, we're afraid to surrender ourselves wholly to God. God does not want to mess up your life. He does not, you know, and we're afraid, well, He's going to ask me to do something He don't want me to do, or I don't want to do. Listen to me. If He asks you to do something you don't want to do, I promise you, He'll help you to like it. He'll even help you to love it. See, that's what I used to think before I surrendered to preach. I don't want to preach. Come on, I don't want to do that. And now, you know, one of my greatest joys in this life is to declare the Word of God. If you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to back off and say, Lord, I belong to You. Lock, stock, and barrel. That's a old-fashioned phrase, but it means everything I am. There's nothing in my life that is off limits. I want my desires to be Your desires. I want my action to be Your action. I want my speech to be Your speech. Lord, I want to give You all of me. And it will absolutely amaze you how you begin to change as God does fill you with His Holy Spirit. But you've got to do it every day. Something that aggravates me as in my walk with the Lord is I tend to be sporadic. I think perhaps everybody is. If I'm not intentional, I will lose sight of the reason I'm here. I will lose sight of God has called me that every day I may give Him honor and glory. See, that's why today we can pray and we can be filled with the Spirit, and then tomorrow, you know, we're not so full. Why is that? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. It is a continual giving of ourselves to God. That's why Paul said in the book of Romans that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That idea is that we're always saying, Lord, Your will be done, not mine. Lord, use me however you want to use me. That's the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And wouldn't you like to know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to give you some things that are indications. But this is what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now this verse has given me trouble for a long time when I didn't understand what it meant. Right? This verse, it's not a good translation. Just to be honest with you. And I haven't found NIV, New American Standard, New King James. I haven't found anyone that translated it well so that it's understandable. As a matter of fact, you know, as you read this, you think, when you get finished reading and speaking to one another in psalms, be filled with the Spirit and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does that mean when I see you on the street, I don't say, hi, how you doing? I say, I'll fly away, oh glory. No. It doesn't make sense. Well, the reason is they did the best they could, I guess, in translation, but it's lost in translation. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, here's what happens. That word, speaking to one another, or that phrase, it literally in the Greek reads, expressing ourselves. Do you think about that? Expressing ourselves. If we're filled with the Spirit, here's what's going to happen. We're going to express ourselves how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Listen, the closer you are to God, the more filled you are with the Spirit of God, the more that God will come out of you. Have you ever watched someone in a church service and everybody around, they're opening their mouth and they're singing praise, and there's this one person over there sitting in the corner saying, I don't want to sing. There's probably a reason you don't want to sing. You're not filled with the Spirit. You know what I've discovered? The less that I have a song in my heart, a spiritual song, the less that's in there, the less I'm filled with the Spirit. Because it comes out. It comes out. And that's the concept. That's the idea of verse 19. It comes out when you're filled with the Spirit. Some of it's got to spill out on somebody else. Have you ever been driving down the road and you've been singing, How Great Thou Art? And you just open your mouth and let it fly, and somebody drives up beside you and they're looking and you're like... And then you say, oh, I don't care what you think. How great thou art. You have to understand, being filled with the Spirit is not some ideas of don't do's, you know, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Being filled with the Spirit is just exactly what it says, where God owns all of you and He fills you to the point that it's got to come out and touch the life of somebody else. And isn't that who we're about or what we're about? A beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you know what I've discovered? Even if you can't sing, it's still a beautiful thing when God's people open up and let her fly as they're filled in the Spirit. So you don't have to worry about, well, I can't carry a tune. That's okay. God doesn't care. He just wants the praise. Not only will there be praise that's poured out, we'll be thankful. These are indications, right? Are you filled with the Spirit? Number one, does it overflow in song and praise to the Lord? Number two, are you thankful? Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for all things. Listen, we tend to... there can be 1,000 wonderful things in our life and one thing that is not so great. And what will we focus on? The one thing that's not so great. Why do we do that? I think it's because of the influence of the devil. If he can keep us focusing on that one negative thing, you know, he'll keep us beat down. But today, I want you to stop and consider how good God has been to you. Stop and consider, you know, if you're a child of God, how much you have to praise God about. First of all, my sins are forgiven. Glory to God, they're cast as far as east is from the west, and they will not be held against me because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, I've got plenty I should be held accountable for. Glory to God, my sin is gone. And not only that, not only am I forgiven, I'm going to heaven. Praise God, this life is not all there is. I'm blessed in this life, but I am so very glad to know that when this life is over, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. I know where I'm going. Glory to God. I'm a member of the Lord's church. Listen, I love you. I do. I appreciate you so very much, and I need to meet and worship with you every week because it blesses my soul. I'm so thankful for the church family. I have children I'm so thankful for. Now, do they all do what I say all the time? Absolutely, they're perfect. No, that's the grandchildren. I'm sorry, I was confused there for a minute. No, they don't. But I'm blessed because God has placed my children in my life. Same thing with my grandchildren. Same thing with the church staff. Man, I work with the best church staff anywhere. I'm pitching for you guys, but they're not batting. I work with the best church staff around. I'm blessed. Are they perfect? No. But their pastor's not perfect. So we get along really well. What am I doing? I'm just trying to stop and say, you know, there's maybe some things in my life that I'm not real excited about right now. But boy, I'm overwhelmingly blessed. And I want to praise God for those blessings. God is good. God is good. And to be filled with the Spirit is to be thankful. And you know what? Even for the bad stuff. Do you ever thank God? Lord, I thank you that this is not going real smooth the way I planned it. Lord, I thank you for the pain, the struggle that I'm going through now. Listen, that's what look at what he says in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. Listen, if you believe Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to those that love God who are called according to His purpose. If you believe that, you've got to believe that even the hardship you're going through right now is going to work out for the glory of God, which is what we're all about. Be filled with the Spirit and be thankful, because Spirit-filled people appreciate the goodness of their God. Then finally, be submissive. Here's the good one. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. What does it mean? That just means you're supposed to do what these folks over here tell you? No, that's not the idea. I want to give you the greatest example of submission that I've ever heard of. Are you ready? It happened in a little room in Jerusalem called the Upper Room. And it was while Jesus was there with His apostles. After they did the Passover, and
instituted the Lord's Supper. It says Jesus took a towel and a bowl of water, and He began and He knelt down. And He began to wash His disciples' feet. Now when you think about that, I want you to stop and realize this is God in the flesh washing the feet of sinful man. Washing the feet of the ones who would deny Him, who would forsake Him. Washing the feet of the ones who would run when Jesus was arrested. And Jesus knelt and He washed feet. Why would He do that? He's the Most High God. He has all authority in all the world, and He's washing feet. He had the authority to tell them exactly what to do. They should be washing His feet. That, no, you know what? He was teaching them a spiritual lesson of humility. He was using His position to serve them by building them up spiritually. That's what He told them. He who is greatest among you, let him be your what? Servant. That's right. That's the idea of submission. It's not about you telling me what to do or me telling you what to do. It's about me using my position and the gifts that God has given me to promote your spiritual growth and relationship with Jesus Christ. And if it means I need to wash your feet, so be it. If it means I need to humble myself, so be it. Whatever it means, you know, whatever is required that I can help you, that's me submitting for your benefit. You see, that's what this week is all about. We've got Vacation Bible School. And I'm really, really excited. But you know what? It's not about keeping kids. It's not about because it's something we do every year and so it's that time and we do it. It's not. It's about people serving people and submitting themselves to other people for their spiritual growth. That's what Vacation Bible School is all about. But it's not just Vacation Bible School. It's teaching classes. It's singing in the choir. 1st of August, we're going to have choir again. Looking forward to that. I missed you guys. Being spiritually filled or spirit-filled means I'm good for you. That I'm going to serve you so that you can serve the Lord. Now today, here's my question. Our song service was all about being Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and honoring God and inviting God's Spirit. Here's my challenge to you in this invitation. Pour yourself out before God. Completely, wholly give yourself to God. Don't make any conditions. Don't say, Lord, I give you everything but this. I really don't want to get... No. Let God have it all. And I promise you, I guarantee you this. You will be more spiritually fulfilled and more spiritually happy, joyful than you've ever been in your life. You see, we're good at holding out on the Lord. Well, Lord, I'll do this, but... No. Well, Lord, you know, I'll sing in a choir, but I won't. No. We're at a point, and especially this week, we just need to pour ourselves out before God. And here's why. Vacation Bible School. There's some people that have put in a lot of hours and a lot of work that has gone into the preparation of this Bible school. And I say thank you. But here's what I know. We can work and work and work. But if it's not empowered by God, all we're doing is decorating. But listen, when we work from the viewpoint of knowing it's God and we need God's intervention, the sky's the limit for what can happen in this Vacation Bible School. We'll see kids saved. We'll see adults rededicate themselves. We'll see revival. Have you ever heard of revival coming from Vacation Bible School? Wouldn't it be cool? It will. All we're required to do is, Lord, here am I. I withhold nothing. This invitation's for you to do that very thing. Whatever you need to do to be right with God, I'm going to invite you to come. Most of all, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask you to come forward and give your life to Jesus. You see, He gave His life for you to pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. He died so that you could live. And all He says, come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For My yoke is easy and My burden's light. Will you come? Will you receive Jesus today? Heavenly Father, oh, we thank You. What a joy it is to be Your child. What a privilege it is to serve You. Lord, we know, and we're reminded today of our great need. Lord, we hold on to things, and we go through motions, when the reality is we just need to stop and say, here am I, Lord, send me. To give You all of us. To give You our everything. Now we pray, Lord, that You'll fill us with Your Spirit. That we may honor You and glorify You among our fellow men. In Jesus' name I pray.